Here with Tenille Towns. And when you walked in, again, I feel like I see you all the time, but I had to kind of check myself and go, in human form, I don't think I've seen you in a long time.
In a long time. I know, it feels like I see you too, which is awesome.
But still, it's probably not as awesome as we think it is.
It's much better in person.
I was, and I want to go back and catch up on some stuff, but I was listening to your song because I'm playing it on a lot of stuff. You know, as soon as you put out something, I'm constantly featuring it on countdowns or national shows. And
Thanks, I was
listening to Villain. Well, you're always going to have me as a supporter forever.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter what's going on or when it's going on. Like, me and you together forever. But,
yes, please.
Villain and Me. And then I was reading what you were saying about it. And you say, because you've written some extremely personal songs.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that this is the most personal song that you've ever written.
Mm-hmm.
How so and why right now?
Okay, so favorite way to write songs is to tell stories. Like, that's why I love songwriting. It's like I get to be the storyteller, and I like the bird's eye view. I like, you know, talking about the girl and somebody's daughter or the jersey on the wall. It's like to be able to process something from that third person perspective is my favorite way to do it. But this song is not third person. This is like about me and the thoughts in my head and the things I tell myself. And I think this past, you know, couple of years of being mostly home by myself, it's like much more of a reflective state of having the space and time and to go, okay, here I am with my thoughts. I think I'm feeling forced to like process them and write about it is something that's healing to me. So that's what I did. It was a scary thing, but this feels like the first time I've really kind of done that with a song.
With this song, it feels like you're talking to yourself about how you don't feel you're good enough.
Yes, that is very true.
In what capacity do you feel you're not? And maybe you've, you know, had a conversation or you've had some growth that you realize you're wrong. I often do that with myself where I feel a certain way and it's kind of like, well, my voices are telling me I suck at this. But if I go 10,000 feet up, look down on it, I can actually see some data.
Yes.
It would prove otherwise. Yeah. So where do you feel like when you wrote this song that you were lacking?
You know, I think it was coming off the high of putting out my first record and feeling like, wow, this is so exciting. And now what? And going a little bit of the pressure behind that. And also just like catching up to processing things that I think I felt honestly in a lot of ways since childhood and in high school. It's like things that, I mean, I can sing somewhere and get off stage and just be like, oh my gosh, that was terrible. Like, I just feel rotten about it. Or, you know, I'll be in the middle of an interview and like spinning in my head about things that I should be saying differently, or, you know, come back and look in the mirror and be like, why am I wearing this? I don't feel good in this, or whatever the thing is. It's like, I think we all have voices. That's just what it means to be human. But acknowledging them is something that's been helpful to me and going like, oh, I think this is good to talk about. And it makes it like less of a shame thing or a scary thing. And it's like, right, like, this is normal. We all do this. And like you're saying, it's like to be able to kind of zoom out and go, oh, okay, so proof says otherwise. People I love and trust say otherwise. Maybe I'm just like really hard on myself. I've just always been kind of hard on myself.
For me, and I've been just so hard and still am to a point, but I've realized now I'm not as productive if I'm really hard on myself.
Yeah, you're so right. You can't get to the heart of the thing because you're distracted by the pulls of like not feeling good enough. You can't be in that dark space and like, I think, be your most authentic, you know, self. But I also think that what you learn and carry with you in those darkest corners is like part of the fuel too. So
I think getting in some of those dark corners too have inspired me to grow into a better person and performer, and they definitely affect each other at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's taken me hating myself to realize, okay, I'm hating myself because I don't think I'm good enough. But when I hate myself, I actually get worse at it. So analytically thinking, even if I hate myself, I'm not going to hate myself because it makes me worse than I already was. So I've kind of logically talked myself out of being illogical.
That's amazing. I love that.
Because I do that and I beat myself up all the time for a second. And you get to do it less and less as you get older and see how
much it actually
doesn't affect.
That's good to know. I appreciate that.
I mean, I would crush myself after a bad radio show or a bad, you know, stand-up set or you know, writing, I'd spend a few nights writing, you know, one of my books. I'd be like, God, I just wrote for 3 nights and it sucked. And I'd read it back and I would just be so ashamed of it.
Yep.
But then I realized that shame would set in and actually made me less productive because of the shame. And I would go, okay, listen, I just got to move on.
Right.
Because it's affecting every, it's, there's a whole umbrella of just darkness over the top of me that I cannot lift off.
Yes.
And so when I heard your song, like I related to it in that way because I was like, I've often felt that way, but the end is you do it enough times, you go one way or the other. And most times it goes, you figure it out and you grow from it, which seems like that's what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I'm definitely working at it. That's encouraging to hear. And it's true. There's a point where it's kind of just accepting that it's there and like saying,
that's a big part of it.
This is a cloud because I don't like to see the clouds. I'm like, I would much rather everything just be real shiny and smiley. And that's my favorite way to be. But it's like, if I acknowledge this, then maybe I can be logical about it because I don't think you really can until you do. So
the two big things for me were therapy.
Yep, same.
Because I finally got somebody that didn't have an investment into my life.
Meaning
whatever they told me, they didn't have to deal with me at 3 o'clock on a Thursday and then 5 o'clock on a Friday. They just told me what they felt, right or wrong.
Somebody who's completely removed and can look biased. Through a whole new window into your life. Yeah.
Their only bias was that I'm paying them.
Right.
You know? And I'm okay with that bias. I'd rather have that bias than the bias of like my wife at times where I know she's telling me things based on she has to live with me.
Right. And she loves you.
And she does. And she wants to like coddle me sometimes and make me feel good.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And that's not always the best. So one is therapy and two is perspective. Because when stuff sucks, you'd see things different, not only for you, but for other people.
Yes, that's true. Like it's not just the cloud on one part of you. Like it's just exists kind of, it follows you around. It's just on all of it.
And then when somebody else is going through it, like for example, you're younger than I am, you're going through this situation. I'm like, oh yeah, I've been there. Here's the thing. I also,
I love that.
A lot of self-hate grew out of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I thought of. That's a long conversation about when I heard that song.
Thank you for the conversation. I like talking about it. It scares me to talk about this song. Like I was like, oh, we're putting this out. This means I'm going to have conversations about this.
But it's also a conversation that everybody wants to have and everybody wants to hear because everybody's having those same feelings.
They are. It's good. I think it feels really, really good. Hearing people like on Instagram or something in the last few days that have messaged about this song, it's like, okay, right. I'm really happy to get to talk about this. And I really loved that, even that this piece of the conversation.
Mike, do you have the song ready now? Here is some of Villain in Me from Tennille Towns.
Try to be a hero till it brings me to my knees. Yeah, there's a villain in me.
Also, sonically, this is so my vibe, so my jam. This is so, I mean, this is everything I love about music.
Aww.
It's,
thank you.
You have the sound I love, you have a message I love, and it's just complete vulnerability here. So, you don't need to know that I'm your biggest fan. This is Stan, your biggest fan. That's right. How's it been out with Brothers Osborne?
So fun.
Yeah.
Yes. It's felt just every show is like, wow, I'm so thankful to be back doing this. I just missed it so much. And I couldn't have like dreamed of a cooler tour to get to come back around to live music with these guys. It's been awesome. I love watching their show every night.
They're also good dudes.
Yeah, they're just really wonderful humans that you can just talk about anything with. And I love just seeing the way like they work on something in soundcheck every day. Like they're just constantly crafting different pieces and parts of the show. Like it's always growing. And I think that's really amazing. I love watching that.
I often tell the story about you and I doing shows together, and you're my favorite, and I would watch, but I would also get really bummed out because you would make the crowd cry, and I had to come on and do jokes. It was like the best, worst support ever because you were the best.
The whole
But to do comedy,
ride.
It was the worst. Like, I'd have to dig them out of a hole so just to get back to that. Even.
I know. I realize. Yeah, you're right. It kind of like set it back. But of course, that's just the best balance because then it's just the whole emotional
It's not supposed
ride.
To be balanced, Neil. It's not. It wasn't a day of balance. But
sorry, Bobby.
It was. You were just the best, and people would leave and go, God dang, Neil was so good. And I was like, I did a show too. That's what I would say. You know what? I did a show too.
But I loved those shows. That was so fun. And like your audience is just the best. Like,
yeah, they're very generous.
They're so generous. And they like listen and it's really awesome.
You are the only, someone had asked me, I was doing an interview with someone and they were like, hey, who comes in to play your show? And you've seen everybody, like who affects you? I think that was the question, something like that. And you came up because, well, to be affected now, because I've been around and seen everybody and everything. I said, there's only ever been one person that's made me cry while playing in the studio. When I feel like I'm in my force field.
Man.
And it was you.
Wow.
And I've heard you play, you know, realistically 35, 40 times.
Yep. This is true.
But you're the only person to ever come into my radio studio where I am bulletproof.
Oh, man.
And make me cry while performing. I have to imagine that. When you do the, because you're doing your headlining shows, which is really cool.
Thank you.
It's just like when I got married, my DJ, who was DJing the wedding, put a tissue in my pocket. And he goes, you may need these when you say your vows. I was like, I don't know. I feel like doing that with everybody that's going into your show. Like, I want to stand out front of the theater and I want to have
I was going to put this in your pocket.
I'm like, you're going to have some real highs too. But I'm telling you, she's going to take you on a journey. I want to put the tissues. That's what you need. That's what you need to sell before the show.
We've joked about that, some kind of Kleenex partnership.
To nail tissues. But you also lift people up so much at the same time.
Well, thank you. Thank God. I really don't want to just travel around and make everyone sob.
Here's what I should mean.
All the sorrow.
This is what I should mean. You make people feel.
Thanks.
Which is the best compliment that I could possibly give you is that you make people feel with your music. Are we good with that one?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. That's so cool.
You were named New Female Artist of the Year at the ACM. That's when I saw that, I was like, I mean, it's like watching your little sister like graduate high school.
Bobby.
You're like, it's not college yet. I know she'll graduate college.
Yep.
But she got her high school diploma. I thought that was awesome, right?
It was really cool.
When you get that call.
I mean, yeah, that was wild. That was in the heart of Zoom days and Keith Urban's face popped up on the screen and that was just insane. So cool.
To see some of the other stuff, and obviously I don't live in Canada. Our show is on in a lot of Canadian markets at night and in the morning a little bit too. So we kind of have a presence-ish there.
Yes, I have lots of family who's like, Bobby Bones,
well, that's
do
very,
you know him?
That's, like, no, that's not
yes,
true. That's very nice of you to say.
This is true.
But again, as I watch you develop as not just an artist, but someone who is starting to get the critical acclaim, you're now winning the big awards in Canada. Like, you wanted, first of all, the CCMAs we'll talk about. Didn't you win a Juno?
Yes, I did. That's is crazy to say that sentence, but yeah, it's just weird. So cool. To feel like.
What's a Juno? I know Juno's the big one. What is it?
Like the Grammys.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's like all genres of music. Mm-hmm. So, to have been recognized, especially at home, it's like, I don't know, that was definitely a fear of just kind of picking up and coming to Nashville. It's like, what's Canada gonna kind of think of this? And
what do they think of, do they think of you moving down as like somebody who's like leaving or someone who's trying to expand?
I hope the later. You know, I think that's the love that I've felt since going back, ever since I moved here. Every time I go back, I just feel like people are so excited and so welcoming and awesome. And honestly, I'm really excited for the headlining tour up there this year. This is my first time getting to do that, and first time ever trying to sell tickets to my own show, and people are coming.
Stressful and awesome.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly that.
let me mention this while we're talking about it. Tennille's kicking off her very first headlining tour. She announced dates for her Villain Me tour, which will launch in January. It's also your first solo trek in the United States.
Yes.
So you're doing Canada and the States. Are you looking at, because I would do this, do you go and look and see how many tickets are sold all the time?
Uh-huh.
I do it every day.
So glad I'm not alone.
I would obsess about it.
I definitely will like check in with my manager and be like, hey, do we get ticket counts? But I'm also pretty good about just being like, okay, like I wouldn't say I'm checking every day, but I'm definitely thinking about it.
The worst is theaters when you can look and see the seats, the blue dots.
Yeah.
I'll be like, how are these blue dots not selling in this section?
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
But that's where you want to get.
Yes,
right?
It's
like
such
you're
an
lucky
exciting
to be able
place
to have
to be,
the stress.
I know. I feel like I'm getting to like, it's like a game looking at the chart and being like, I get to do this. Mm-hmm. Like I get to look at a seating chart for a show that we put on sale that
for
people are coming
to
for me.
It's a you show.
Yeah, it's a me show. It's really weird and really cool.
Let me encourage you guys to go and watch Tennille because again, I'll list some of the American dates here. Cambridge, Massachusetts, January 19th. In New York on the 20th. Philadelphia on the 21st. Nashville on the 27th. Charlotte on the 28th. Chicago, Indy, Detroit, and Phoenix, all the way through February 10th. So, you know, we are pretty much in all these cities.
Yes.
Awesome. I hope you guys go and, you know, you watch Tenille and you go to a show, because it really, really is great. It's just, again, it'll make you feel. You know, speaking of feeling, I always wonder, when you do a work tape and you record it on your phone or you do a demo,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, at times it's called demo-itis, where you really don't want to change the demo because it was so perfect.
Uh-huh.
I would just think that all your songs are perfect as, like, really, really bare acoustic songs. When you have to add, now you have to add a band and instruments when you make, is that a tough transition for you to go, oh, I don't know if I want to spice this up that much because it's perfect how I wrote it?
To be honest, it's kind of the absolute opposite of that. Like, every time I turn in a song, my immediate response is, oh, I'm just going to, like, I turn in, like, 5 or 6 songs at a time because I never want, like, one song to get more attention. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to send this group in. And then maybe, and I never feel like any of them are any good. And then it just takes me a long time. That's what happened with Villain and Me. I just sent that song in. I was like, ugh, that feels really, you know, dangerously personal. And I'm just going to put it in the mix. And then it came back and was like, oh, wow, everyone's really pumped about the song. And then I'd listen to it. And it just takes me a while to kind of grow into how I feel about a song. And that one definitely grew on me the more I lived with it. And I had just sang, like, a quick guitar vocal at my house. I've learned Logic this past year and a half, so that's fun. So I put it down and sent it to my co-writer and producer, and then it came time to produce the song, and I was like, okay, so let's, you know, figure out a day to get some tracking done, get some real drums in, and I'll go in and sing it. And everything about the song was a wrestle. Like, I recorded the vocals 2 different times, and both times it was like so just emotionally tormenting, and the result was just not right. I was like, this isn't raw, this isn't the right thing. So we trashed it both times and went back to the vocal that I did in my room.
Really?
That's just like
the vocal.
That's what you hear. Yeah. And the guitar, it just, they went together. It was like, I can't, this is just how it's supposed to exist. So we built everything around that. But it was like 6 months of working on this song of like going, no, yes, no, and then going back to the original work tape.
6 months of getting it right.
Yes.
More than trashing it. Sometimes you have to walk all the way down a road
all
to realize that's not the right path.
That's right. And then, and I'm so glad, because I don't think I would have had the like feeling of arrival or peace when it was finished, because I'd have been like, oh, we probably should have tried to get the vocal differently or done this. So I wouldn't change anything about it. But yeah, it was quite a ride to get to it.
You ever have a song, and maybe this was one of those instances where it's so personal, you're like, I like the song, but I don't know if, like, really, I want to share this.
Oh, yeah. Definitely had those feelings with this one, for sure. I don't know if I've actually had that before, because although there's, like, a piece of every song that feels personal, like, it's kind of like it's traveling through me somehow, so there's pieces of me in any song that I'm a part of writing, but completely centered in it this way, this one was different.
You do vision boards?
Yeah.
Still?
I do.
And what for what? Life? Career?
All of it, yeah. Mostly, at this point, it's mostly career, you know? I think that's where my heart is anchored right now. But I got things on there for building all kinds of stuff in my life. Yeah. I've taken a lot of cool things off. I literally had the Bobby Bones show on there for a long time on my vision board.
Yeah, but that happened like as soon as I heard you, I was like, you have to come do the show.
It was really cool to get to take it off and put it in my pile of things that happened. But yeah, I've got
she burned it.
Yeah, no. I've got a tour bus on there now. We're in a bandwagon, which is really exciting. It's
a
like
a bandwagon.
Yes. So it's kind of like between the passenger van.
Mm-hmm.
The Sprinter van and the bus. So we're in like, it kind of looks like
a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. It looks like a box truck.
And do you need a CDL to drive that, or can anybody drive it?
No, anybody can drive it. And it's like, yeah, it's just like a box truck with bunks in it. And then
so who drives?
We have a driver. His name's Sean.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you have a driver. You're not driving anymore.
No, thank goodness. No, I'm not driving. I would not want to drive this thing. It's too big.
But if you needed to.
If I had to, I guess I could like drive forward in a straight, safe motion. Yeah.
When I was, again, looking through your videos, I was just making sure I didn't miss anything, and I was scrolling through. And I don't think I saw your guitar that had the writing on it. Are you still playing that?
So I have started a new guitar now because we're on to the new chapter of music. So I still play that one, but I actually found this Martin guitar that I loved, and I wanted it to be like guitar 2.0, to be darker so that I could paint in light colors to be the inverse of the first one. So I had the wood stained a dark color, and then I went and got some paint pens at Joann's and started drawing like a sunrise to kind of represent the new horizon and bringing things to the light of day. And now I'm just going to kind of tattoo it as I go, because we're going to keep journeying to the next record in pieces. So I'm just going to tattoo the guitar as we go.
You know what's going to be great about that other guitar? I'm assuming you're keeping it.
I am, yeah.
Whenever the Country Music Hall of Fame gets to show it off, that's going to be a really great piece.
Thanks, Bobby.
Won't it, Mike?
Yeah.
That'd be a really great piece one day.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. You, if I'm right, because I looked, and sometimes I'm wrong, did you write all these songs?
Yes.
Okay. How important is that to you?
Really important. I mean, I love getting to listen to songs, too, that so many of my heroes, like there's so many ridiculous songwriters in Nashville and songs that are made. I wouldn't ever like shut the door to a song if it really spoke to me. But it's really important for me. I love that part of it. I just love to write. It feels like, you were talking earlier about perspective and how that's what gives me perspective. It like puts me in some hot air balloon. I'm just like floating above a situation and can figure out how I feel about it and how to understand something. So, I mean, on a personal level, it's just really healing, and I love to be able to tell stories.
There are a couple songs of yours that I'm drawn to that I just think about, and I'll play you one that I made a note here. When I Meet My Maker, which, again, I love Slow and Sad.
It's my thank you, Bobby. So, it's my jam.
and you wrote this by yourself.
I did, yeah.
So I'm going to play some of this first, and I have a couple things I want to say.
Okay.
My Maker. We'll walk on Heaven's Boulevard, up above the clouds, in between the stars. I'll ask Him all my questions, and He'll answer with a smile. I'll tell Him how I love Him, and I'll thank Him for.
So when you write a song by yourself like this, how long does it take?
This song was probably like, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Because it's either going to be really fast or really slow. When you're by yourself, you kind of know. You have to deal with other people's bullcrap, or you just don't know at all. And you're like, I don't know. Let me keep tinkering with it.
Correct.
So this one kind of fell out of you.
It did, yeah. It felt like a really spiritual moment for me. I remember I wrote this song a long time ago when I first moved to Nashville. And I was thinking about my great grandmother, my Mamère Ouellette, and was missing her. I got to know my great grandmother for 20 years of my life, and she passed, and we just all were just so devastated, and I was missing her, and was just kind of sitting at this coffee table. I was renting this place in Berry Hill, and sat down. I'd come home from my write that day, and was just sitting there, made some dinner, and picked up a pen, and very much felt like a vessel moment.
When you pick up a pen, are you picking up a pen and paper with no guitar and you're writing like a poem? Or do you have the guitar in your lap and you're kind of doing what we think of as like the old school way, like ding, 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 write it down. Ding,
yeah.
Ding. Like, what's the songwriting process for you when you're by yourself?
When I'm by myself, it's a paper and a pen usually, and the guitar in my hands for sure. And it's kind of like the guitar will give me the structure of what I want the lines to fit inside of. So I have a really hard time, even when I write with other people, I have a hard time doing lyrics separate from music. It's like they feed each other to me.
Will you ever go in and be like, okay, I have this like four chord situation.
Yeah.
And then kind of build a story around the kind of music you're feeling?
Yes, I do think. I think the music sets a lot of the mood. It's like, what does this, if I don't know what I want to write about, then I'll let the music kind of tell me, because it might sound like something that makes me feel something and want to talk about it. Or if I'm like, hey, I want to write about this, then I try to like find a piece of music that feels like that, so that they kind of have to build together to me.
The other song that I think of when I think of you is, you may have to correct me because I'm going from memory here, but it's Somebody's Daughter, but it's the version with the Girl Scouts, right? That's Somebody's Daughter, right?
Yes, it is.
And I... Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these Girl Scouts were homeless.
Yeah.
And so how did you get with that Girl Scout troop? Why? Like what motivated you to do that? And then how was that experience for you?
Well, I heard about Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee Troop 6000, and there's a Troop 6000 in New York that I was reading about and learning too. And it's like, wow, what a concept. Like you think of, you know, Girl Scouts and you buy their cookies and it's so awesome. And it's like, there's a specific troop that meets inside of, you know, women's and children's shelters in Nashville. And they meet every Thursday, and it's this cool thing that the structure that they get to turn to for people who are, you know, without permanent housing. And it really moved me learning about what they were doing. And we were talking with the people who are running Girl Scouts, and they're talking about how they're earning their different badges, just like every other Girl Scouts troop, and about their musician badge. And I was like, okay, let's do something together. We can like, so they came in, they got to record in the studio, and we got them like stomping and clapping, and then taught them the chorus. They sang it with me, and then we got to like hand out their musician badge at the end of the
That's
session.
Awesome. I have chills in the back of my neck.
It was such an emotional day. I just, those girls have so much courage. It's insane.
Do you have that mic by any chance?
That she was somebody's best friend. Laugh and go back when she was somebody's sister. Count and change at the lemonade stand. Probably somebody's high school first kiss. Dancing in a gym with the kids. I'll talk about someday plans. Now this light will turn green and I'll hand her a couple dollars. I wonder if she got lost or they forgot her. She's somebody's daughter. Somebody's daughter. Somebody's daughter.
Just awesome.
Thanks,
I
Bobby.
Feel the same way hearing that now that I did the first time.
Thank you. That was, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. That was really special.
And how great that you got to hand out the badges at the yeah. end. It's like the perfect ending to that day, doing yeah. that with them.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make me cry again. And never do it.
Thanks, Bobby.
What are you listening to right now?
Ooh, let's see.
And it doesn't have to be new.
Okay.
Because I definitely have the days of the week when I'm listening to some new stuff, but then I have the stuff that are my old faithfuls.
Yep.
That I know I'm going to put on John Mayer Continuum.
Yep.
I know I'm going to put on Counting Crows.
Yep.
Like I have my music that when it's time for me to not worry about music, but just accept the music that I love, that I go to.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's a good prerequisite. But I have been putting on Flaming Red, Patty Griffin before, like while I'm doing my makeup, before I get ready at my shows. I love that record so much. I'm always listening to Lori McKenna. The Lorraine record in my truck. I have 6 CD players and like 4 of them are hers. So it's pretty much just cycles through when I'm driving.
The headline there is she still uses a CD player. I don't know what you guys heard.
I know. That's true. They're in there. It's just become, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but it's in there. I really love the Sasha Alex Sloan record that came out.
I'm friends with her.
She's so good.
And she's so good.
I know.
And it's hard for me to separate because, you know, and her husband, I play golf with her husband too, Henry.
Nice.
And so she's so good. And when she had to change her name?
I know.
I was like,
I went to say just Sasha Sloan, but then I was like,
Sasha, what's happening? She goes, there's another artist.
I mean, I had to go through a similar thing. We were Instagramming about that of like, oh, the good old immigration things of name changes. So yeah, I haven't met her in person yet, but I really want to. I think
you guys would love each
other.
Yeah,
I really, we need to connect, go for coffee and hang. But
she's also, and I'm going to have you finish that your music here, but she's also so like legitimately emo.
Yes.
Like she was playing pickleball with Caitlin. And she was like, pickleball. And Caitlin's like, come over. Because her and Caitlin are friends.
That's cool.
And she shows up. She goes, I don't own tennis shoes.
I love it.
And I was like, you are so you.
She's like, that's legit.
I was like, you are legit.
That makes me really happy to hear that. I love that.
What else you got musically?
The Patrick Droney record. I loved that. I've been listening to that a bunch. Ray Bull. Do you know any of Ray Bull's music? Okay, so we met this past year.
Ray Bull or
yeah,
Ray Bull?
Ray Bull, like with a W R A B E L.
Okay. A band or a person?
It's a person. Stephen Rabel is his name.
Okay.
He's amazing. And we got connected through our RCA, and we started writing during COVID, and we probably wrote like 15 or 16 songs together, and then met in person in LA a few months ago. And his music's just amazing. His whole record that he's put out is just so emotional and beautiful. And one of the songs we wrote together is on the record, which is such a cool thing to me. But yeah, I love it. His music's wonderful.
Mike, did you find any Rabel?
How do you spell it again?
W-R-A. Yeah. W-R-A-B-E-L.
Let me hear a little Rabel here. I'm probably going to like him.
You're going to like
him. If how you're describing it is...
It's beautiful music. Yeah. I think he's awesome.
Let's see.
Is he showing up?
I got it. What song?
Pale Blue Dot's the one I wrote with him, but we don't have to listen to that.
Let's
one.
Listen to the one. Let's listen to Pale Blue Dot.
I got it.
All right. I'm already in.
Okay, good.
Yeah, hit me with a minor right at the beginning. I'm like, it's sad, I'm in.
It's so sad and awesome.
Funny how the smallest thing can open up a big trap door. Then you question everything. I was at the grocery store. Saw somebody smiling and alive. I started thinking about their life. I wonder what happiness feels like. I wonder if I felt it before. I wonder if love comes one time, or two or three or even more. I wonder if we ever get answers to the letters that we're sending God. And I wonder why we're spinning on this pale.
Oh, now I get it. Pale Blue Dot.
Yeah.
So you wrote this with him?
I did.
Really good.
Thanks.
I can
Bobby.
Also hear you singing that.
Aww.
Do you ever get in a write with someone and this is an emotionally vulnerable song?
Yep.
It doesn't have to be personal to be vulnerable.
True.
It can be how you're feeling.
True.
It doesn't have to be what you've experienced. It can be how you're feeling.
Yep.
Do you ever go, oh, they're being really vulnerable today? Holy crap, they're being, I gotta like change, I gotta be that way now too. I gotta match them.
Yes.
I have to match their energy, and maybe I wasn't prepared one way or the other to match that energy when I came in the room.
True. Also, sometimes though, I think it's about just holding the door for their energy.
Okay, tell me more of that.
I think it can be like whether I'm the one who's really opening up and there's a co-writer who's just asking the right questions, who's like, just kind of listening in a way and is like catching things that you're saying that you didn't really mean as a line, but then you kind of are just helping them interpret the of what they're being vulnerable about or what I'm being vulnerable about, either way. But that's sometimes I think it's like you just hold the door open.
That's the job I would want.
That's the my door favorite holder door
open.
Too.
Yeah, just like, just say a bunch of stuff and I'm going to tell
I'll
you
just,
when it's good.
Yes, totally. And then it will just put it all together and it'll be great.
So here's what I'm going to say. If you're listening to us now, first of all, I'm going to tell you to go follow Tenille at Tenille Towns. I'm then going to tell you that you should stream her song Villain and Me because I love it.
Thanks.
And if you've gotten this far on the podcast, you probably love it too.
True.
She has her very first headlining tour, which is kicking off right after the beginning of the year. All the dates are up on our website, TenilleTowns.com. I mentioned all the cities, but I want you to go and watch a show and... The Lemonade Stand. It's a year old.
Yeah. It was over a year.
But it still exists and is, I love it.
Thanks.
I do. I love it. So obviously I'm a big fan. I'm happy to see you in person again.
So happy to see you.
Were we talking about on mic or off mic in person and on social media?
I think we, at the very start.
Were we rolling then?
I think we were rolling.
We were
rolling talking about your really cool trees, but.
Maybe we're rolling for that too. We're rolling for that?
I don't think that part.
I didn't buy fancy trees.
They are so beautiful.
But you're making it sound like I went all hoity-toity and bought special trees.
I mean, they are lined up so symmetrically, and they are like the most beautiful red trees I've ever seen.
It does
They're
feel
so
like you
gorgeous.
Drive into a Hallmark movie.
Yes,
it does.
Exactly, Mike. That's exactly what it is.
I will say they may have been strategically lined up by the person who built the property, but I didn't like buy fancy trees.
I mean,
they're
okay.
Normal trees.
They're normal trees, yeah.
So, Tenille, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You are
me,
a
Bobby.
Plus for sure. And then I hope people go and check out the new stuff and go see you on tour.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. I love getting to talk to you.
Pale Blue Dots are also the dots on the concert sites when you go and check your seats.
Yes, the seats. Yeah. Oh, we should write that angle. Same title.
Nobody would get it, though. I log on at 4 a.m. to see if anyone bought tickets. But they didn't.
So yeah, we've got the verse.
Just
is
catch
amazing.
These. Just tell me what's good. Catch
hold
these.
The door.
Yeah. Hold the door for me. I'm on a roll. All right, Tenille Towns, you guys go follow her. There we go.